Udara sarva evaite. Janitva maiva me matam. Astita sahi yuktatma. Mam eva nutamam gatim. Udara, magnanimous, sarve, all, eva, certainly, ete, these, jani, one who is in knowledge, two, but, atma eva, just like myself, me, my, matam, opinion, astita, situated, sa, he, certainly, yukta atma, engage in devotional service, mam, in me, eva, certainly, anuttamam, the highest, gatim, destination. Krishna speaking, all these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is not that devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. The Lord says that all are magnanimous because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a Mahatma, or great soul. The devotees who want some benefit out of devotional service are accepted by the Lord because there is an exchange of affection. Out of affection, they ask the Lord for some material benefit, and when they get it, they become so satisfied that they also advance in devotional service. But the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord because his only purpose is to serve the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. Such a devotee cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord says, Sadavaridayamayam sarunam ridayam tvaham manate te na jananti naham te bhyo managapi. The devotees are always in my heart, and I'm always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. This is a very intimate relation between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. So here the Lord's talking about those who are very dear to him. Those who sacrifice everything for the service of the Lord become very dear. Well, Prabhupada qualifies that by saying everyone is very dear to the Lord, but some are more dear. Again, we can use the analogy of a family. In the family, there may be many children, but the father, or mother, in other words, the parents, they love their children equally. But we see maybe some children don't obey the parents, and others strictly obey the parents. Some children show affection to their parents, others become a little bit distant from their parents. Although the love is equal, still, how it's reciprocated is by how the children respond to the parents' affection. So in the same way, in life, and all devotees are dear to the Lord, in fact, all living entities are dear to the Lord, but Krishna says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, Namedvesis Trinapya. I envy no one. I'm equal to everyone. I'm not partial to anyone. But one who renders devotional service is a friend in me and I am a friend in him. So therefore we can see that according to how one accepts the instructions, guidance, and the affection of the Lord, the reciprocation is the same. Yayatam mam prapadyante tamstadaiva bhajami aham mama vartmanu vartante manusha partha sarvashaha. As they approach me, I reward them accordingly. So people are approaching the Lord in different ways for different reasons. And then within the confines of devotional service, we have devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness and all at the same time trying to achieve their material desires. And we have those who are still full of material desires but are trying to get rid of them. But then we have the devotees who are on the highest platform, who are purified from all material desires, who have surrendered everything to the Lord and have no personal interest except the interest of the Lord. So the Lord is dear to all, but you can imagine the reciprocation is different. And the reciprocation is based on how one approaches the Lord. So here, and Prabhupada makes this point, and with reference to one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 9th canto, this is in the pastime of Durvasa Muni, when Durvasa Muni offended Maharaj Ambarish, who was a pure devotee of the Lord. And then, of course, he wanted to kill Maharaj Ambarish, but the Lord protected him and threw his Sudarshan Chakra at Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni is a very powerful mystic, and he's an energy of Lord Shiva. So he ran from the chakra, but the chakra chased him throughout the universe. By his power, he was able to go to Shiva Loka, to Brahma Loka, but asking for shelter and protection, nobody could give. Finally, he went to Vishnu, and he took shelter of there, and he wanted protection from Vishnu's chakra. Vishnu said, I have no power to withdraw my own chakra because my devotees, they have me within their heart, and therefore I am simply their puppet. Whatever the devotees do, I reciprocate. So the devotees are very dear to the Lord, especially the pure devotees. So the Lord was actually saying that I can't do anything because you offended my devotee. Only he can free you from the reactions of my chakra. And of course, you know, understanding the situation, Durvasa went and apologized to Maharaj Ambarish, who in any way didn't feel any way offended by this powerful mystic who was known for his anger. He gets angry very easy. Sometimes we have devotees who are like that. It's just their nature. But still, we have to control that. But Durvasa is known for becoming very angry fast. And so, acting wrongly, now he was in trouble. But only when he was relieved from the offense by Maharaj Ambarish was he able to be freed from the Lord's chakra. So the Lord wanted to make a statement that, you know, this is how dear the devotees of the Lord are to me. I'm completely controlled by them. Why? Because the Lord is controlled by pure love. Everyone has love for the Lord to some degree. But when that love is mixed with other objects of love, it doesn't control the Lord. To some degree, the Lord reciprocates that love. But only when the love is completely pure, completely repose on Krishna exclusively, then that love captures the Lord completely. As Prabhupada says, you have bhakti, you have bhakta, and you have Bhagavan. So bhakti is the process, bhakta is the devotee, and Bhagavan is the Lord. So what is the strongest of the three? Who knows? Who said? Bhakti. Bhakti is the strongest because bhakti controls Bhagavan. And when the devotee has pure bhakti, anya, it's called ananya bhakti, unalloyed bhakti, then the Lord is completely under the care of that devotee or under the control of that devotee, because the devotee doesn't try to control the Lord, he tries to serve the Lord. But because he serves with love, that love controls the Lord. Just like if somebody loves you, you know, you can feel that. And you're so happy to do anything for that person because you can feel the love that that person has for you. So in the same way, the Lord is, that is the nature of the Lord. Therefore, we want to come to that stage of developing pure love for Krishna. That is our goal, ultimately. And how do we do that? Well, that's the process of bhakti. But in that process, we have to start to see it's not so important that what we get or who, what we are. What's important is what I can do for the Lord or what I can do for the Lord's devotees. That becomes the most important thing and not so much what I'm getting or what I'm not getting like that. Because the Lord always takes care of his devotees like that. So I was thinking when I was reading this verse, I was thinking of Bhakti Charu Maharaj. How this verse really exemplifies his position in relationship to the Lord. Those who know him have no doubt he has pure love for Krishna. You can see it. It just comes out of his being. It's just like, it's there in everything he does. And so, yeah, so we are very much blessed with many, many devotees who are really very elevated in their Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in order to advance in our own Krishna consciousness, we should seek out the association of such persons and look for the opportunity to hear from them. And if the opportunity is to serve them, then that makes that relationship wonderful. Okay, so we'll stop there. This is a very sweet purport, and Prabhupada is really getting right in. Out of affection, people ask the Lord for some material benefits, and the Lord will give sometimes, but sometimes he doesn't. But he does give himself to the pure devotees. Okay, any comments? Questions?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your nice lecture. During lecture, I remember my childhood and compare, like you said, how parents love equal, and but seems different. And I remember, I have sister, and when we were young, my behavior to parents was different. I was more smiley, I kissing them, I hugging them. She couldn't do this. And this seems different, that they love me more. But it was not so. But seems that I always compare this.
Who's older, you or your sister?
5 years older.
You are?
No, sister.
Sister is older.
Older, yes. And she was very jealous on me and always think that they love me more. But I do this relationship.
Mm.
Now she know. But when we were young, she was always jealous and angry on me. But I couldn't help because my behavior is this. And this I always remember.
Sometimes there's envy between siblings.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that's unfortunate. Well, the same opportunity was there for her. She could have took it, but for whatever reason, she didn't. The parents are equal, but the parents will reciprocate accordingly. Yes, any other questions or comments? It can be, yeah. It can be connected with karma. Generally, when people are born in the same family, their karma is similar. There's differences always, but there's some similar karma. How karma plays itself out is that at the time of birth, karma generally is what we say, there from the previous life, but then as we live in this life, we have different experiences, we develop different relationships, so then that karma sort of goes in an individual direction then, like that. So as you grow up, you may have similar karma at the time of birth, but as you grow up, you may also go like this, you know, depending on how you live your life and who you associate with. Because you're creating new karma. Any other questions? Yes. Sundar Gopal.
So if we have, according to my understanding, while we think that we are this body, we will also have material desires. If we don't have realization that we are not this body, it seems natural to have them. So what should be our, how should we act? Like, should we just let them be and try to, while performing devotional service, try not to try to perform it without motive and just let them there? Or should we try to fulfill them if we have to, also independently, or try to fulfill them independently, but at the same time know that Krishna is the giving the result, or should we ask him not to ask? What is our...
Well, material desires are something separate from Krishna. So the idea is to mold our life around Krishna. So even in the family, there's family responsibilities. You can take care of those responsibilities in order to keep the family, what we say, stable and whatever needs that are required. And that's not material desires, it's just necessities. But if you want to go out and enjoy in the town on Friday night and don't tell your wife, that's a material desire. So... you know, in other words, if anything you do separate, Hare Krishna. Sorry about that. In other words, anything we do in connection to Krishna, even if it's maintaining family or if you have your occupation, so but you have to just check in and say, is this spiritual or is this material what I'm doing, like that. But the process is meant to change our material desires into spiritual desires. That's the process. So that's a process. So as we chant, as we associate, as we understand philosophy clearer and better and learn how to apply the philosophy, and then we're making progress and our material desires are becoming less. The strength is going down. We can see that. What we desired maybe a couple years ago are not as strong as what we are now. you stay in Krishna consciousness, your material desires will become less. But the thing is that we don't really know how many material desires we do have. They're really, many of them are so deep we can't even see them. But if you stay in the process and you pray, "My dear Lord, please guide me to do those things that are meant for my advancement towards you in devotional service, and guide me away from those things that I might want to do which are not beneficial for my spiritual life." So this is a nice prayer. It's praying to bring on the positive. It's praying to get rid of the negative. But if we stay in the process and follow it gradually, but you can see, you'll see when something comes up, you can see, if you like to eat chocolate, okay, so that might not be so bad. But is it necessary or not necessary? Obviously, it's not necessary, but you have a certain taste for a certain type of food, and you have to have it sometimes, and you don't feel happy unless you get it. So it's kind of like trying to enjoy something that really you don't really need. I mean, what do you do with that? You offer it to Krishna, but at the same time, you think, "I'm just doing it because I want to keep connected with Krishna." But really, it's just all about me. So we have to take some inventory and see what's there in our life that we don't need. Try to avoid it, and Krishna will always give you what you need. He doesn't give you what you want, but he gives you what you need. And we have to accept that he knows better what's better for us. Like today. I don't know if I should say this. Should I say it? Okay. I was thinking, I don't want lunch. I don't want to eat lunch today. And then about 3 o'clock, 3:30, Krishna said, "Sarira avijjajan satendriyanta hekaha jive phele visaya sagare." I heard the mantra. So I understood it's time for prasad. So I thought, all right, I'll just cook some pasta. Because I have my little kitchen and I had my pots and pans and some pasta. So I'm just going to cook some. Then I thought, why cook pasta? I'll just call Bhaktivatsal and he'll bring some prasadam. So why go through this whole cooking process? So I called Bhaktivatsal and guess what? No answer. So then I was back to the pasta and I thought, all right, this is what Krishna wants. He doesn't want me to bother Bhaktivatsal. So I cooked pasta and something else too, one little thing. And after I finished, I was happy and I was so glad I didn't have to bother Bhaktivatsal. So my desire was to, I was thinking, you know, why go through the whole cooking and cleaning process? Just, you know, put my order in. But Krishna said to Bhaktivatsal, "Don't answer the phone." So he didn't. So, you know, we can see how life works. It always doesn't work according to how you plan it. You should never push your own ideas. If you want something, you can try for it, but if you see Krishna's showing you in one way or other, this is not the way to go, and you just, you know, pray to him and find out what way he wants you to go. So. Well, that's a nice purport. She said Krishna wanted me to experience Italian food because I'm Italian. Roots. I wasn't eating any roots, it was pasta. So that was a little different. I guess I had a secret desire to have pasta. I wasn't aware of it. So, you know, this is just an example of how we plan things, but Krishna somehow or other arranges things differently. If you're sincere in your Krishna consciousness, Krishna will always do even if you make a mistake, he'll guide you to the right thing. He's always with you. He's always with you. Mm-hmm. We just have to be sincere that I don't really want these material desires. And he'll help you get rid of them. If you want to get rid of him, he helps you. If you want to hold on to him, he also helps you. But if you really want to hold on to him, then he lets you keep him. At first he lets you, he'll say no, and makes it difficult for you. Then you say, and then you keep wanting it, and then he says, you're on your own. It happens all the time. He'll help you up to the point where he sees that you're not going to change, and then he'll let you go on your own. Then you have to suffer. So we always have to be open to what Krishna wants, and not so much what we want. But the Shastras say you can't fulfill material desires. When you try to fulfill a material desire, you create another material desire. Each time you fulfill a material desire, it gets stronger. Each time you refuse to fulfill it, it gets weaker. Mm-hmm. So the more you say no, the less that material desire has strength on you. At first, it may be a little strong. The example is like a lion. The lion is in the cage. You don't feed it for one day. It becomes really, starts growling. You don't feed it for another day. It starts roaring. If you don't feed it from a third day, and then it's so weak, it's like a big pussycat, Hare Krishna. So thank you for coming and reminding me of what I'm supposed to do. No, you did good. You added some spice to the class. Yeah, so this is how we think. We're not so interested in fulfilling material desires. We're trying to satisfy Krishna and at the same time do what is best in our own devotional service. So we shouldn't be so attached to what we want. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Does that help? Yeah. Anything else? Okay, we're getting close to time. So thank you very much. There's another question somewhere? No? Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.